Welcome to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio, where our vision is to build a people established in God's Word, advancing His kingdom, a body of believers endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. We appreciate you joining us this morning for this dynamic and life-changing Word. Here now is our senior pastor, Fred Gillenwater, with today's message.
The truth be told for the saving of souls.
We have been in this series on giving is living. And so we're going to reflect on some of where we've been. In the first message of this series, we talked about judging, condemning, and then forgiving, how important it is to forgive. And then we talk, and then it says, and give, and it will be pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And remember, we talked about how people will use that as a way to manipulate people to give, because if I give, then it's going to come back to me, pressed down, shaking, running over, my pockets are going to be packed, and, you know, I can get what I want. That's not the idea there. The idea there is talking about judging. It's talking about giving, what you're giving out. So if you judge, you're going to get judged. Remember, we talked about in Romans chapter 2, judge not. If you judge, you will be condemned. So we got to get rid of this judging people. You know, when you see somebody, you size them up, you're judging them. That right there pollutes your giving. That affects your giving. And when you condemn somebody, you know, that means to say they're wrong and just bring them in a trial, and you condemn them. You're the one saying they're you don't give them any mercy. Remember, mercy is what? I'm giving you something you don't deserve. I'm not giving you what you do deserve. That's mercy. And that's what we're to do. That's what God does with us. He gives us mercy, right? And He gives us grace. And that's what we're to do with people. We're to always give them grace and mercy. Grace, it talks about in Titus chapter 2, that grace has been given, the grace that it brings salvation has been given to us to teach us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly and righteously in this present evil age. You see, when we understand grace, now it's beginning to teach us, but we can't understand it if we're not giving it out. Come on, do you see that? If we're not dependent on God and going to God and giving it out, then we're not going to understand. And that's going to affect how we live in this present evil age. But if we do, then now we're going to have a way that we live that's going to cause us to rise above all this negativity, and we're going to be looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, who loved us and gave Himself for us, that He might redeem us from every lawless deed and purify for Himself His own special people, zealous for good works. For good works. You see, that's what it's all about. When we begin to understand the grace of God, then that's going to teach us and empower us to rise above all this negativity, all this stuff in the world. We can rise above it. And He says He'll redeem us from every lawless deed. Everything that we're doing that's not in line with Him, He's going to redeem us from it. But you know what? We got to understand how to give before that takes place. And then we'll be doing we'll be zealous for those good works. So don't judge, right? That's not our position. So in other words, instead of we judge somebody, we'll say, give them more grace, Lord. Give them the mercy the way you extended mercy to me. Man, that helps me. Now, what's the next one? See, we're doing a recap. Mammon. Mammon is what? Remember? A Caesarean god. Spirit. It was a spirit. He says you can't serve God and Mammon. Remember, Mammon is the god of riches. Mammon is a spirit. And it was derived out of Babylon. And Babylon is confusion. It means confusion. And so when we're serving Mammon, it brings confusion. And that's why there's so much confusion in this area of giving and in finances, because it's steeped in mammon. And mammon is the spirit of the world. And so that's why Jesus said you cannot serve God and mammon. Either you'll love the one and despise the other. Despise means to disesteem. See, some of you don't look, you get discouraged with God because you feel he's failed you in your finances, but he hasn't. You've been serving mammon. Remember, I was working in that plant because I made more money. I could make money, and I was serving mammon. I wasn't working in that plant at Miles Laboratories for, you know, the benefit of people and what I was really created to do and what I was called to do and the community. I was working there because I could pay my bills, I could drive a certain car, I could have a family and a little white fence and all this stuff that was means beans. And that's what people do. They serve mammon because it gives them money. I'm telling you, that one right there is one that hides itself. And you'll be serving mammon thinking you're serving God. Because, see, mammon tells you you'll have security if you have more money. Mammon tells you you're going to have status if you're at a certain... You start to hang around people that have your level of income, and now you just... That makes you feel like it's okay, and you can become greedy, and you see what I'm saying? I'm just trying to show you, this mammon will whoop your butt and kick you while you're down. Remember in Revelation, it talks about the beast. It talks about taking the mark of the beast. It's going to affect the way you buy and sell. So in other words, he's trying to put fear and pressure on you that if you have more money, you're going to be all right. You see, that is a lie, and that's deception. Well, if you just get to a certain level in your income and certain amount of money, oh, in this account and that account and this stock, and oh yeah, we're gonna move and we're gonna build this little thing on the side, and yeah, we'll just retire, and you know it's gonna be all right. I'm gonna tell you what, that's mammon. God is gonna take care of you, and if you get God first, put him first, you'll be able to enjoy those final years, really enjoy them, and leave an influence and affect the kingdom of God. I'll tell you what, that mammon, that's one we got to really be on our toes on, because it's always there. It's all around us. And I'm going to tell you what, if you don't understand what we're talking about, you'll be serving it, because it's easy to get caught up in. Generosity, we talked about generosity. Selfishness. How we all have a problem with selfishness. All of us have a problem with selfishness. We grow up as children, that's mine. That's mine. And you know, a lot of us never grow out of that. And selfishness ends up in our marriage and it affects everything. Selfishness. You think you promote yourself. You think you're going to provide for yourself. You think you're going to, you know, take care of things yourself. And those are all things that God is supposed to be doing. God is the one who promotes you. God is the one who provides for you. God is the one who takes care of you and protects you. You see, selfishness puts its place, self, in the place of God. You see that? That's what selfishness does. And remember we talked about the story of Mary and Martha in Mark 14? It talks about Martha and Mary, and then Mary gave, she sat at the feet of Jesus, and she broke the alabaster jar and the oil, and she poured it on Jesus. And remember, the idea was that was a generous heart. She was generous because the oil was worth a year's wage, an entire year's wage. In those days, that was a lot of money. And so then Judas stood, well, we could have sold that and gave it to the poor. You remember, he pointed his finger at her extravagance to mask his selfishness. And see, that's what we do. Because see, if he really wanted to help the poor, he would have taken what he had and began to help the poor. That's like somebody seeing somebody who's prospering and they have a nice house or they're driving a nice car. Oh, if they would just sell that and give it to the poor, then you know. Well, why don't you sell what you have and give it to the poor if you really care about the poor? You see, people don't care about the poor. They just want to cover themselves. So this is the idea of generosity. And remember, now don't forget this point. Because of her generosity and pouring that oil on Jesus, remember what it said. It says, and this woman will be a memorial in the years to come. And remember, I preached about her. Remember, that's effect. That's influence. Because of her giving, it's influencing people today. And it's going to continue to influence people. And I told you how my grandmother was a giver and she just gave everything. And how there's not a day goes by that I don't think about my grandmother. Not a day goes by. I'm telling you, there's times I don't think an hour goes by that I don't think about my grandmother. That's influence. What did we talk about last week? What's first in your life? The idea is we got to understand what's first in life. In this area of our finances, all right? We talked about in Exodus 13, verses 1 and 2, it talks about the first fruits, the firstborn. And you give the firstborn animal, you sacrifice that if it's clean, so the rest of your livestock, the rest of those animals will be redeemed as well. See, the first one has to be clean. That's why Jesus was without sin. He was the lamb that takes away the sin of the world. And he was sacrificed so you and I can be redeemed. And that's the idea. When you put first what God says, the first fruits are first, then the rest is redeemed and can have the influence and be blessed and be redeemed. And it's that first fruits idea. It's the firstborn. Remember, Jesus was the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and earth. Whether thrones, all things were created. Whether thrones, dominions, all things. And then it says, and in him all things consist. Everything consists. It holds together in him. The Bible says, in him we live, in him we move, and in him we have our being. That's why it's so important to be connected to the body of Christ. Because when we're connected to the body of Christ, we're in him. This is the body. This is Jesus now, right here. All of us together, that we're the Jesus moving on earth now. We're the body of Christ. And he wants to increase that. And if we'll put that first, then we'll see that increase in us individually, in the community, in our families, in our influence. The kingdom of God is advancing. So, remember, the tithe is what you bring to the storehouse. The storehouse is where you're being spiritually fed. Remember, he says you bring the tithe. You don't give a tithe, you bring it. And that's the way it is. The tithe is God's. It's holy. It's holy. You don't touch what is holy and do what you want with it. That's why you don't take a tithe and tell the church you want it to go here and here and there and there. You give the tithe. The offering is what you can say where you want it to go and designate it. But the tithe, you just give it to the body and trust the leadership that they're going to do what's right. Because now the pressure's on them. And remember I said, if you don't trust the leadership, then you need to go somewhere where you do. And I'm not saying that mean. I'm saying that for your benefit. You want to be in a place where you trust the leadership so you can grow and advance the kingdom. Because if you're always doubting and don't trust them, then you can't grow and you can't be what God's created trying to show you in life. You know what? This is just what we need to hear at this time, right now, for such a time as this. We need to understand this. Because folks, in all you're getting, get understanding, right? Hosea 4, 6, my people are destroyed for what? Their lack of knowledge. We want to go into this year and begin to experience what God is doing and what God has called us to. And we want to be in his will. And when we understand things, that's what happens. And you will be more fulfilled in his will if you're in his will driving a Volkswagen with holes in the floorboard and living in a house with a roof that leaks if you're in his will. Then you would be in a high rise in Hawaii driving what you want to drive. It's not about that. It's about connecting and being in his will. And God doesn't want you driving a Volkswagen with holes in the floor. Maybe a minute if he's trying to teach you something. Sometimes that's what he's doing. He's trying to teach you something. He taught me a few things. I'll tell you what. He's going to teach you some things. I'm just here to tell you. If you really want what he says. If you're not after mammon, mammon will kick you later on, and, you know, we may not see it, but he'll take care of you real good. If you want God, he will take care of you, and it will be real. And you'll be becoming who you are really created to be and what you're really here for. So today, go with me to Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and we are going to close this series on Giving is Living. And we are going to start a new series next week out of Nehemiah. Luke's Gospel, chapter 9, and verse 12 through 17. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, "Send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country, and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place here." But he said to them, "You give them something to eat." And they said, "We have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish, unless we go and buy food for all these people." For there were about 5,000 men. Then he said to his disciples, "Make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so, and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, and looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them." Now, this particular portion of Scripture reveals the principle of multiplication. So we all know what multiplication is, right? And addition and subtraction, right? We know what when something's added, and we know when something's subtracted, especially in the area of our finances, right? So we want to look at this principle of multiplication in this area of our finances and this area of giving. So we're going to look at that today. And what happened in this story, it really reveals this principle of multiplication. And I think you're going to see something that maybe you haven't seen before. It is vital that you capture this, that we understand. All right. It says here, when the day began to wear away. What's he saying here? He's saying when the day began to wear away, this service started probably like something like ours did, 10:30. Now it's getting dark. The day's worn away. And they got this minister who's been walking on water, who's been doing all these things, but they're getting tired. And the disciples are thinking, you know, it's getting dark. The day's wearing away. And I can hear Peter. You know, I'm going to put this in kind of a modern day and look, maybe use some modern day vernacular. So stick with me, all right? So Peter's sitting there saying, "I'm getting starved, man. We've been here all day and he's still going on. We need to stop this. Because look, the people came from, and they had to go, they were from out of town, and they were way out in a deserted place, and they'd been there all day. No, nobody's eating. They're getting hungry." And Peter says, "I'm starving. I'm going to go up and stop him. Excuse me, Lord." Now, just kind of put yourself in this. "Lord, excuse me, I got a little bit of business I want to just tend to here. Excuse me. Lord, excuse me. It's getting dark. And you know what? I think the people are getting hungry." You know, he goes, "You know, this has been good today. This has been good." He goes, "I could go all night. I could just listen to you all night. I could go all night. But you know, the people are getting hungry. Maybe if you stop now, we'll have you back next week and you can continue on." He goes, "But you know, the people are getting hungry." And so he says, "The people are getting hungry." And Jesus looks at him. The people, they're the ones getting hungry. And Jesus looks at him and says, "You're not hungry?" "Oh, no, no, it's the people. They're hungry." And Jesus looks at him and says, "You give them something to eat." "Me? You want me to give them something to eat?" That's what it says here. "You give them something to eat," says to one of the disciples. I'm using Peter, okay? "You give them something to eat." Okay? Now, Peter thinks, "Well, I've got to get a committee here. We need to do something. This is a problem. He goes back to the rest of the disciples and he says, you know, he told me, he goes, I told him that the people were hungry and I thought he cared about the people. But he said, for us to give them something to eat. And then this little boy's walking by and he's got a Long John Silver's box. And Peter grabs that from him and says, let me see what you got. He opens it up and he's got 2 fish and 5 rolls. You know, he wanted extra rolls. So he's got this Long John Silver box with 2 pieces of fish and 5 rolls. And Peter's looking at it. He goes, I know. What we'll do is we'll tell him this is all we have. And he'll dismiss the service and we'll be able to leave. And he goes, I'll tell him Applebee's is closing and Arby's and, you know, all these places and, you know, they're closing. It's getting dark. And so he goes back. Peter goes back. Okay. Yeah, we talked. And he goes, you know, we got 2 fish and 5 rolls. And we talked about this. He goes, this is what we have. He goes, now, you know, maybe you ought to dismiss the service. And he goes, separate them in groups of 50. Excuse me? Lord, I don't think you understand. You didn't hear what I said. We only have this box with 2 fish and 5 rolls. He goes, separate them in groups of 50. Now put yourself in his place. You know, when you tell people things to do, they don't usually, anybody ever work with people? When you work with people and you tell them to do something, they always have questions. So can you imagine Peter? Okay, break up in groups of 50. And you know, you got somebody like Kelly over there. He likes to eat. He's going to say, well, what are you going to do? Feed us now? And they're all up in groups of 50 now, wondering. Peter's sitting there saying, this is all we have. We don't have any more, Lord. So, made them all sit down. Then he goes, I know what he's going to do now. I got it all figured out now. I know what he's going to do. He's going to pray over them, and they're going to multiply. Peter takes that box. Here, Lord, pray over mine first. Pray over mine first. I'm getting hungry. He's going to pray over them, and they're going to multiply. So he goes and he gives them to them. Jesus does what? He blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. He took what Peter had in his hand, that roll, and broke it in half and gave it back to him and wanted him to go back to feed the multitude. He goes back and he goes up to the end of the row here. He's thinking, now what am I going to do? So he goes up and he says, psst, just take a little piece. Real little. He hands it to them. And as they pass it down and he's watching it go down, it gets down to the end of the row and it keeps getting bigger and bigger and they keep passing it. Oh, yeah, just go and help yourself. Yeah. Just go and help yourself. Oh, yeah, you take as much as you want to. And they're passing it, and it just keeps getting bigger and bigger. And it keeps growing, and they're being fed. Now, what's happening? It didn't multiply until it got into the hands of the disciples. It didn't multiply in the hands of Jesus. It multiplied when he put it into the hands of the disciples, and they gave it, but it didn't multiply till he blessed it. And as he blessed it, then they took it and gave it, and it began to multiply. You see the principle? It can't multiply without the blessing of Jesus on it. Did you catch that? Without his blessing on it, it won't multiply. And that's the way we are. We have 2 fish and we have 5 loaves. And if Jesus' blessing is on it, it's going to keep growing. It's the principle of multiplication in the kingdom. And if we are doing what he says to do, and he blesses it, that's what's going to happen. When we do things his way, he blesses it. And now it's in a position to grow. Then it's up to us to give it away. Two things have to happen for this principle to go into motion. Jesus has to bless it. We have to give it. See, the miracle didn't happen until they did what they did and what they were supposed to do. And that's it. That's the way it is. And God's going to do that here. Yeah. Because we're learning and we're going to do it his way. Not my way, not your way. We're going to do it his way. And we're going to watch it grow. And if we will capture this and obey it. See, everything hinges on obedience. You know, if we rebel, shoot, it'll just be you'll be fighting and kicking and scratching. But when you begin to obey, and I'm going to tell you what, God will get you into a place wherever you are. He'll work it out to where you'll start obeying. You may not like where you end up, but you'll start obeying one way or another. Because see, we kick and scratch all the way, but the sooner we start to obey, then now we begin to experience really the miraculous that he's been trying to get us to all along. Oh, man. I'll tell you what, that just gets me going. Where we are going from today is we're going to begin in the book of Nehemiah. And we're going to talk about building now. Building your life. And see, this is the foundation, this giving and understanding this. And as we understand this, now we're going to begin to build our lives. And this community. And so that's where we're headed. And this next series is going to be about building. You know, that's where we're going. I'm trying to give you an idea of where we're going. And folks, these are some good days we're in right now. I am just here to tell you, it's not, if things look bad and you don't look at what you're seeing, there is so much going on that we don't see. And everything that happens, God is in it. Everything, God is in it. That's why when Joseph told his brothers, what you meant for evil, God meant it for good. What did he say to him? He said, am I God? Am I God? He was letting them know, I'm not sitting in God's chair. They were asking him all these questions like he had all the answers. I'm not God. That's what, you know what we do? We take God's position and we get in his chair when we try to run and reason and figure out and wonder how everything's working. We try to take his position. But when we will keep trusting God, just like Joseph did, all those things he went through, it looked like stuff was falling apart. It looked like, but he stayed true to his God. He continued to do what was right in the midst of everything that was wrong. And he ended up in God's position, what God created him for. And I'm going to tell you what, that's what we're all looking for.
Only the truth and truthfulness can save us now. Only the truth and truthfulness can save
us. You have been listening to Heralding the Truth, the radio ministry of Russell Road Church in Sydney, Ohio. Our church office and 7 p.m. Saturday evening worship services are held at 340 West Russell Road. Our 10:30 a.m. Sunday service is held at Christian Academy School, located at 2151 West Russell Road. If we can be of help to you, you may contact us at 937-492-6412 or visit us on the web at www.russellroadchurch.com. We end today's broadcast with these words from the Apostle Paul. Be complete, be of good comfort, be of one mind, live in peace, and the God of love and peace will be with you.